translation. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationship with Him relish hearing of His pastimes at every moment. Purport 5 is Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There is a great difference between mundane stories, fiction, or history, and the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The histories of the whole universe contain references to the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord. The Ramayana, the Mahabharata, and the Puranas are histories of bygone ages recorded in connection with the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord, and therefore remain fresh even after repeated readings. For example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life and yet find in them new light of information. Mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic, inasmuch as the spirit is dynamic and matter is static. Those who have developed a taste for understanding the transcendental subject matter are never tired of hearing such narrations. One is quickly satiated by mundane activities, but no one is satiated by transcendental or devotional activities. Uttama Shloka indicates that literature which is not meant for nescience. Mundane literature is in the mode of darkness or ignorance, whereas transcendental literature is quite different. Transcendental literature is above the mode of darkness, and its light becomes more luminous with progressive reading and realization of the transcendental subject matter. The so-called liberated persons are never satisfied by the repetition of the words Aham Brahmasmi. Such artificial realization of Brahman becomes hackneyed, and so to relish real pleasure they turn to the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are not so fortunate turn to altruism and worldly philanthropy. This means the Mayavad philosophy is mundane, whereas the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental. Vayam tu na vitrpyam uttama shloka viktame yashrinvatam rasagyanam sadhu sadhu pade pade. Well, the nature of transcendental narrations is that they are ecstatic, and the nature of mundane descriptions are that they are static. Ecstatic and static. This material world is actually not alive. Matter, or no matter, has no life in itself. And therefore, that which is dead cannot yield any type of real pleasure. People are falsely trying to squeeze this material nature in one way and then another way in order to eke out some small pleasure. But this is all a futile attempt, just as by beating the empty grain, the empty husks, one may try to get some grain, but the grain has already been taken away. So similarly, this material world is like the empty husk. There is no substance within it. Punya punas charvita charvananam. One who tries to enjoy within this material world is chewing the chute, not just for this lifetime, but in countless lifetimes we have tried to squeeze some sort of pleasure from material life. But we have not learned. We have not learned by these experiences that there is no pleasure to be found. Why is it that you take repeated cycle of birth and death? It is because your desires are still not satisfied. Your desires are still not fulfilled. And this is the only reason that one takes his birth again within this material world. But why your desire is never fulfilled? Because this material nature is incapable of rewarding or delivering the real pleasure. Therefore, it is the duty of the devotee of the Lord to deliver this highest of all pleasures, Krishna consciousness. Krishna is not of this material world. Not limited by the passage of time, nor is he under the influence of the modes of passion or ignorance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely transcendental, and similarly the narrations dealing with him are completely transcendental. Therefore, we can take pleasure in hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again. This is the opposite of material narrations. How many times can you pick up a novel or a fiction book? One time, two times, 10 times, but not more. How many times can you hear a material song? Only a few times in a day, and then you get bored. The material energy is boring, but spiritual energy is forever enlivening. Just see how many times in one day we're chanting. How many times in one day we're chanting Hare Krishna and getting more and more pleasure from it? How many times can a man read Bhagavad Gita and get newer and newer enlightenment from it? This is because the process of spiritual life is a gradual unfolding. It is not revealed all at once. It's gradually unfolded by the mercy of the Lord. It is not an academic process, A plus B equals C. It is a personal relationship with God. This type of knowledge can only be delivered or only be understood or digested when the Lord wishes us to, when the Lord permits. It is not something which is written down on a page and you can take it and put it in your brain. It is love. And love requires two. The lover and the beloved. Therefore, this type of jnanam, here it's mentioned, jnanam, those who are conversant with the Supreme Lord. The real jnani, the real devotee of the Lord, he has his knowledge by the grace of the Lord. Tesham satata giptanam bhajatam piti purvakam dadami guru yogam tam yena mamupayantite. Only to those who have completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord does he give them the understanding by which to know him. But this, the highest of all knowledge, Krishna consciousness, is actually a relationship, developing a relationship with Krishna. Because of this, the mundane people, they have no entrance into the understanding of this transcendental scripture. Here it's mentioned at the end of the purport, the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, they have great difficulty in commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam. Because they prefer to comment on those Vedic literatures which leave a possibility for interpretation in an impersonal way. God is, everything is one. God is all pervading. Brahman. They prefer to comment on such literatures. But when they come to Srimad Bhagavatam, they become baffled. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is a direct description of the transcendental activities of the Lord. And unless one is sufficiently purified, then he'll interpret the Srimad Bhagavatam on a mundane platform. Therefore, they think Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are less important. And materialists would say that these narrations of the Lord are completely mundane. They view Krishna's activities with the gopis as sex literature. They view Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill as a fantasy story. Why? Because they have not developed the purity to understand Krishna. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from the very beginning. It is recommended that one learn and hear the Bhagavatam from the first canto, first chapter onward, not jump to the intimate narrations of the Supreme Lord in the 10th canto. First, let one understand how Krishna creates the universe. Let one understand how Krishna's energies are working, how Krishna's various incarnations are appearing. And then gradually, as one develops faith in the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, faith in Krishna, and that faith is matured by devotional service into love, then he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. So what is the key to that purification for which to understand Krishna? Bhakti, devotional service. Only a devotee of the Lord is allowed by the Lord to enter into an understanding about him. We have to beg the mercy of Krishna to be able to understand Krishna. What is that mercy of Krishna? The spiritual master. What is that begging? The ability to fulfill the spiritual master's instructions. The spiritual master is the mercy incarnation. He's the mercy representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By following his instructions, by satisfying him, automatically Krishna becomes satisfied. And when Krishna is satisfied, then the goal is achieved, because one immediately understands Krishna consciousness. It is not an academic process. You may be illiterate. Gorkhashwar Das Babaji Maharaj, the Param Guru of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he was illiterate. But he was the greatest transcendentalist. Such a great transcendentalist that the greatest scholar of the age, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, took him as his spiritual master. This proves that it's not an academic process. You have to purchase Krishna by your fervent devotion. That is the only price. Your fervent devotion. And when that sound goes off, don't turn down the amplifier, because every time I get interrupted, you're stopping the interruption is a bigger interruption than that interruption. It is just like the mundaners. They create an entire civilization to counteract the difficulty, and their counteracting is the biggest difficulty of all. Don't be so intelligent and active out there. Try to hear. So, how to purchase Krishna? Krishna cannot be purchased by any amount of money. How can you calculate what is the value of the mercy of God. It's not possible, because that mercy, one drop of that mercy is enough to fill one with ecstasy for eternity. No matter how much money you may acquire, that money cannot make you happy. No matter what material, what happened to this loudspeaker? Let's see what's wrong. Stop whoever is dealing with it. No matter what facility you have in the material world, where is the happiness? But one drop of Krishna's mercy is enough to inundate the whole world. Therefore, how to make such a big purchase? One has to develop his devotion. And this is therefore the business of the spiritual master, to help the disciple to serve with such fervent desire that every ounce of one's energy is employed in the service of God. And herein we find the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Herein we begin to understand the mercy of the disciplic succession, especially of the great personality Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has inaugurated this Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Wherever he went, in every town and in every village, he induced the population to chant and dance in ecstasy. Because in chanting and dancing, all of one's energy is completely involved. Just note how when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Benares, all of the Mayavadi scholars were sitting around, and they were big jnanis, big Vedantists. And when they heard of the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they ridiculed him as a sentimentalist, simply singing and dancing. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came amidst them, he said, "Yes, my Guru Maharaj has termed me a fool and told me not to dabble in this study of Vedanta. He told me simply to chant the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra. And so I am doing that. And I am finding that as I chant, I am becoming mad with ecstasy. I do not know if I am overwhelmed by illusion or what this is, but I cannot control myself any longer." Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he considered himself to be a fool. How is it possible? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest learned person in existence because he is Krishna himself. Be a little quiet there. He's the greatest personality, greatest scholar, because he's God himself. Therefore, we can understand. It is not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a fool, but he's telling us what is our position. The people, we the people of the Kali Yuga, are fool number ones. Ignorant, deluded, overwhelmed by the material energy. Therefore, what business do we have dabbling in the study of Vedanta? The process advocated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the people of the Kali Yuga is simply the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is the prime benediction for the humanity at large. Everyone in this age, Kalava Sudra Sambhava, everyone is fallen number one, lower than the Sudra. Therefore, what is that process which is meant for the lowest of the low? This Sankirtan Jagat. It cleanses the heart of the general population. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore, did not bother with the general masses in big Vedantic discourses. With a few of his most confidential devotees, like Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Ramananda Roy, Silasarup Damodar Goswami. With these great personalities, he discussed the most exalted subject matter. But what method did he introduce for the mass of people? Sankirtan. Sankirtan. The chanting and dancing of the holy name of the Lord. Where is the question of ignorance or mental, where is the question of lack of intelligence in chanting? Even a fool can chant Hare Krishna. And that is what everybody is, fools. If you're not a fool, then why have you committed so many abominable, sinful activities in this lifetime, if you're not a fool? If you're so intelligent, then why did you take birth in complete delusion and ignorance? It means you're a fool. Stop becoming so puffed up thinking I'm a very learned personality. And take up the chanting and dancing of the holy name. This will cleanse the heart of all kinds of misgivings and impurities which have developed for millions of years. This is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That for such ignorant fools, he'd come with the holy name of the Lord, which is as good. One who chants the holy name of the Lord, he's to have been understood that he is getting the benefit of performing all kinds of ritualistic activities, all kinds of austerities, visited all the holy places, and read the Vedas from one end to the other. That is the benefit simply from chanting the holy name of the Lord. In this day and age, there's all kinds of shortcomings, all kinds of disadvantages. But there is one great advantage. And what is that great advantage? That simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can derive the greatest benefit which was achievable in all other ages by other processes. This is the greatness and the mercy of God when he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that mercy has been increased even further by the appearance of his beloved disciplic representative, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Because although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught a system which was so easy that anyone could do it, it is still even too difficult for everybody here. When Srila Prabhupada came here, he delivered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to chant Hare Krishna. He requested, as his Guru Maharaj had, that everyone should chant on the japa beads a minimum of 64 rounds a day. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that anyone who cannot chant 64 rounds a day is considered fallen. So Srila Prabhupada gave this instruction, chant 64 rounds. No one could do it. That means that the people have become so fallen that now they cannot even chant Hare Krishna all the time. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada elaborated. He expanded on the Sankirtan by developing the big Sankirtan process. There are two kinds. In Sankirtan, there is need of kolan kartal, mridanga and kartal, drum and cymbals. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed this type of Sankirtan with kol and kartal, with mridanga, drum, and cymbals. And wherever he went, people began to chant. But Srila Prabhupada, recognizing that people have become even more fallen, they cannot even chant and dance all the time. They're so much entrapped by the mode of ignorance and passion that they don't have the peace of mind even to sit down and chant Hare Krishna. That is now even impossible to chant 64 rounds anymore. He minimized it to 16 rounds, one-fourth. And instead, he taught us how to perform the bigger process of Sankirtan. How to beat on the bigger mridanga. The printing press. The distribution of transcendental books. Herein we find the secret to pleasing the Lord. The secret to purifying the heart. beating on this big mridanga means to cleanse the heart of all kinds of impurities, personal desires, private motivations. This is the effect of this big Sankirtan book distribution. When one goes and takes these books and delivers them into the hands of the fallen persons of this Kali Yuga, one gets the greatest benedictions upon his head. This book distribution requires the maximum effort from the devotee. Everyone here can feel now the purity of this Sankirtan marathon. How cleansed we feel, because it required from us every bit of our energy. This is the perfection of spiritual life, to give 100% of his energy to the service of Krishna. And here is the service that demands it. If you do not give 100% of your energy to this Sankirtan incarnation of the Lord, then you become completely destroyed by the material energy. It is a big battle. In the battlefield, the opponents are fighting with each other, and so many soldiers are being killed. Pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement means to do battle with the material energy of the Lord. Do you realize what a great world war is now being enacted? People are afraid of the third world war, but they do not understand that it has already begun. That war is the war with Maya, and we are waging it all over the world, and we are winning. Our books are like bombs, and they're strafing and smashing all of the ignorance of the people of the Kali Yuga. Krishna was completely outnumbered when he took the side of Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. But what was the outcome? Krishna's side emerged victorious. Now the odds are even greater than 5,000 years ago when Krishna and Arjuna battled their opponents. But Krishna is so kind that he has come even a greater, more powerful manifestation than he did 5,000 years ago. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prima Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurisish. More merciful, more powerful than even Krishna himself is his advent as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just as Krishna had his generals, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his great generals. The devotees of the Lord, the GBC, the gurus, the senior Vaishnavas, the sannyasis, and all the staunch devotees of this ISKCON Sankirtan army, even though they're outnumbered, they have the one trump card of the Sankirtan incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, they cannot be defeated. This war is waged in a very subtle way. Most people don't even know that it's going on. In the Second World War, they invented certain weapons which released diseases into the midst of the enemy. They didn't use them much, but they experimented. So we have perfected this type of weaponry. Our Sankirtan soldiers are releasing a disease which is more dangerous, more widespread, impossible to stop. than any disease which had ever been invented by the materialists before. This disease, when it enters into a person, there is no way he can become cured. And whoever he meets, he will contaminate that person also. This is the disease called Krishna consciousness. One whose heart becomes infected by this disease, he becomes a madman. Transcendental madman. And whoever he meets, he also affects him. Just like our friend who has come here from Michigan, our Sankirtan soldier, Rajendra Nandana, entered into the state of Michigan in the United States, armed with the weapons of Srila Prabhupada's books, and he released one of these weapons into the hands of one gentleman who brought his young friend. And now that disease is infected. 8 months ago he got a book before, so he was already in a delirious condition, waiting to be delivered. And Brajendra Nandana came with the mercy to deliver this boy, and now here he is in our temple. He's in the hospital. Our temples are hospitals. This man was seriously wounded by one of our bombs 8 months ago. He was lying in unconscious condition, and then Brajendra Nandana came like a medic, picked him up, sent him here, flew him in, and now he's recovering in this hospital. The karmis see this as a disease. They're right. But they do not understand that this disease, see, this disease is the real state of living. Their disease is a different type. What they say is disease, this Krishna consciousness, is actually the real healthy condition. And what they say is healthy is actually the disease, affection for the material energy. This material energy is worse than any type of nuclear holocaust that could come. People are afraid that the bombs blow up, the whole atmosphere will become polluted and contaminated by fallout. But where is a fallout more death-like than this material energy of the Lord? Therefore, we have built these fallout shelters, the temples of ISKCON. And the war is going on. You should understand that. The fallout of the material energy is all pervasive in this Kali Yuga. Therefore, we are working very carefully. And we are igniting our bombs in one city after another, with the result that we are introducing a new type of disease into the society, and there's no way that people can become free from it once it enters. Such is the state of Krishna consciousness. Once someone takes Krishna consciousness, once someone chants Hare Krishna one time, once someone receives one of these transcendental literatures or gives a donation which will then help to distribute one of these literatures, that person is finished. He is a numbered man. It is only a question of time before he becomes one of the distributors of these transcendental literatures. Book distribution, therefore, is the great mridanga. It is the Sankirtan process which in this day and age will ignite the world with love of God. It will ignite our individual hearts with love of God. It will free our hearts from all kinds of inebrieties or impurities. Therefore, how we have to take up the order of our spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada was beating on this mridanga until his last breath, lying in Vrindavan in a completely physically helpless condition where he could not even raise his arm. He was beating on this mridanga like anything. Such is the power of a pure Vaishnava guru that he could play so loudly this brihat mridanga. You cannot stop this transcendental sound vibration. And repeatedly throughout his presence on this planet, he induced us to beat the mridanga harder and harder and harder and harder. If you beat a clay mridanga, it'll smash and break. But this Sankirtan Brihat mridanga will never break. The harder you beat it, the more the vibration will encircle the world, the more the people will dance in ecstasy, the more your hearts will become purified. Where is the question of tired? Where is the question of limit? Prabhupada, not eating for 4 months, was not tired in playing this mridanga, because this mridanga is nectar. Playing this mridanga, you never become tired. It says here, clearly it is written. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of God. Never tire. Such is the nature of spiritual as opposed to material. Ecstatic as opposed to static. Vakrishra Pandit, the great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, danced for 72 hours in a row. Where is there a dancing marathon where anyone has ever danced 72 hours in a row in the material world? Not possible. Only in spiritual life is it possible. Similarly, the devotees of our temple in Berkeley, California, they went out at 5 o'clock in the morning and they went on this Sankirtan marathon. And they distributed Prabhupada's books from 5 o'clock on Friday morning to 12 o'clock midnight Saturday night without stopping once. This is the same internal energy of the Lord which allowed Vakrishra Pandit to dance 72 hours. This is the same Sankirtan. Try to understand how Prabhupada has elaborated and expanded and introduced in a new and fresh way for the fallen generations of this age this same Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is the result? The same result as chanting Hare Krishna. Our hearts become cleansed, our mind becomes full of knowledge and realization. And one who avoids this Sankirtan process, he remains in a static condition. He does not progress in the same way. But the devotees of the Lord who enthusiastically beat on this big mridanga book distribution, they're found to be jubilant dancing peacocks. and their hearts are full of transcendental realization. This then is the way those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with Him. What is the highest relationship possible with Krishna? The highest relation possible with Krishna is to become a preacher of Krishna consciousness. To represent the Lord as His preacher. Who could say that they are beyond the platform of the six Goswamis? We are not sahajiyas that we're trying to imitate the gopis. The sahajiya community, they imitate that I am a gopi and so-and-so is Krishna and we're dancing together. There are class like this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us how to go away from such sentimental understanding of Krishna consciousness. Sahajis are sentimentalists. They try to enter into an understanding of Krishna and his pastimes by imitating Krishna Leela. That is not possible. You cannot imitate and become a gopi. Rather, you have to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. How has Rupa and Sanatan acted? Have they gone around imitating gopis? No. They have worked tirelessly for the deliverance of the fallen souls. And by this process of preaching and Sankirtan, which they follow, what is the result? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami to describe all of the different aspects of transcendental rasa. Rasa means relationship, taste, relish of the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. This is called rasa. Who was given to expand on this rasa understanding? Not someone imitating a gopi. Someone who was entrusted simultaneously with preaching. That means a preacher, he's given all the realization to understand the relationship of Radha and Krishna. Not by some sahajiya mentality of thinking that I won't go near the karmis, I won't touch them. Such a compassionless person will never get the realization of Radha and Krishna's loving affairs. Look at how Srila Prabhupada followed in the footsteps of Rupa and Sanatana. How he came at the age of 70, when anyone else would have thought of retirement, how he left the holy land of Vrindavan, where one never leaves because one wants to stay there and die there and go back to Godhead. How he gave up all such spiritually and materially comfortable situations. Why? To deliver Krishna consciousness to the fallen souls. And who can say that they got more realization than Srila Prabhupada? Do you know it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that no one can understand the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto unless they have progressed through the 9 cantos? That is clearly stated in the Bhagavatam itself. But Srila Prabhupada, being such a greatly self-realized personality,
on account of his tremendous, unlimited compassion for delivering the fallen souls. Krishna, Dvaipayana Vyasadeva, empowered Prabhupada to do what even Vyasadeva said was not possible to do. Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book, which is nothing but the summary of the 10th canto, and asked us to give this 10th canto directly into the hands of the sex mongers, and they'll become purified by reading it. Such is the transcendental realization of Srila Prabhupada by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna that he is empowered to such an extent not only to understand but to translate into such a way a book like Krishna book, which makes the highest understanding of Radha and Krishna available to the most fallen souls. Do you realize what type of realization is required to do such a thing? What type of purity is required to do such a thing? Why couldn't the others who remain sitting safely in Vrindavan, why couldn't they have been able to do this? Because they were not empowered to do it. And who got that empowerment? That personality who risked everything for the cause of preaching. Therefore, no one should become fearful that by preaching I will sacrifice my Krishna consciousness. No! By preaching you will gain Krishna consciousness. By delivering Krishna consciousness to others, you will become the greatest gainer of all. Therefore, it's described, those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him. What is the greatest relationship, therefore? In this age, how do you associate with Krishna? Not as a false gopi, but you associate with Krishna in his form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how do you associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? By becoming part of his Sankirtan army. Stand up. By becoming part of his Sankirtan army. Go in the kitchen and work, that way you'll stay with him. This is how you become related to Krishna. If you want to get the same relationship, that eternal relationship which each one of us has, one of the five types of relationships with Krishna, that relationship will be revealed to you through the process of Sankirtan. That is the way to approach Krishna, Radha and Krishna, through the Guru, through the six Goswamis, through Nityananda Prabhu, through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How do we approach Nitai and Gaur? By his Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Banatisha Krishna Sangotam Garshta Pashadam Yajnai Sankirtanai Prajari Yajanti Hi Samedisha. Anyone who has sufficient brain substance will worship the Lord who is advented, accompanied by his associates, by the performance of Sankirtan. This is the way to realize your eternal relationship with Krishna, by establishing your eternal relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna has understood that in this day and age it's no longer possible for people to sit and chant and simply realize everything. Therefore, he came further in the form of Sri Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is actually the mercy incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has come to make understood what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicated. Otherwise, it was not possible to get the mercy of Gornitai if Prabhupada had not come. Because that mercy is no longer possible simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, what did Prabhupada reduce from 64 rounds to 16 rounds? Sitting in Calcutta in 1970 with Prabhupada, myself, Jai Bhattaka Maharaj, Achyutananda Maharaj, and others were sitting, and Prabhupada came to Calcutta. He was going to take us to Kumbh Mela. It was actually January 1st or 2nd, 1971. Prabhupada said, how many members have you been making? We said, oh, well, we are sitting here in this dharmshala, and instead of making members, we are chanting more than 16 rounds. Each of us has increased. Prabhupada said, you cannot chant more than 16 rounds. It is impossible for you. He ordered us, it is impossible for you to chant more than 16 rounds. I have seen it, he said. This is simply an excuse for you to be lazy. Go out and make members. And similarly, Prabhupada encouraged us here. Chant 16 rounds. But where did he limit how many books to distribute? That, he said, you're able to do endlessly. You can go on doing more and more and more and more and more books. I never saw Prabhupada become so satisfied as when he saw the book figures increase. But as soon as he heard of one boy who had become a big Bhajanandi living in Mayapur and imitating Haridas Thakur, he said, this is simply false play. Here was a man who increased his chanting of rounds, and Prabhupada said, bogus. And on the other hand, the book distribution figures increase more and more, and Prabhupada said, this is real transcendental understanding. This doesn't mean to say that one should not chant more than 16 rounds, but you should understand that that chanting of more than 16 rounds should go parallel with your ability to preach. Work now, samadhi later. There'll be ample time when your body becomes decrepit, you can't move, then take up chanting 64 rounds. But now, while you're young, while your body is strong, go and work hard to deliver the fallen souls. That will get you the greatest mercy. I told Vrijananda that whatever this young man distributes for the next year in books, you will get half the credit. So similarly, every time you give a book out, and every time that piece book goes into the hands and that person fructifies into a fruit of love of God, you realize what benefit you derive as the preacher who introduced that person to Krishna consciousness. How many rounds do you think it's worth? You're chanting madly on your beads to increase so many rounds, so many rounds. If you give out one book, and that book enters into the hands and into the heart of a person who then begins to chant, don't you think that you get benefit also for his chanting? You become guru. One of the gurus is the one who introduces someone to Krishna consciousness. Don't you know that a father benefits for the work of his son? Why do you think in India they're so interested in having sons? Because the father benefits by the activities of the son. Similarly, in spiritual life, the guru benefits by the advancement of his disciple. If a guru makes one disciple who becomes a pure devotee, the guru goes back to Godhead. It is the perfection of his mission. Therefore, Prabhupada said, I'm not looking for many stars, I'm looking for one moon. One moon to light up the sky. And the guru's mission is perfect. So just imagine,
as a guru. Everyone here who preaches is a guru for so many thousands of people that he gives a book to. If one of those persons, becomes a pure devotee, eventually you, as the guru who introduced him at first to Krishna consciousness, your mission is perfect. Now, how many rounds will it take to do that? How many rounds will you have to chant to go back to Godhead? Here is the easy way. Mass distribution of books. One of those people is bound to become a pure devotee. You figure how many books one devotee can distribute? Triparari Maharaj has been distributing books now for 7 years. 7 years times at least, supposing he took off 1 month every year to go on Mayapur, even 2 months. Say seven years times 300 days. That means 2,100 days. 2,100 days times at least 40 books. At least. Is that an underestimate? 2,100 days. 50 books, say. It'll be easier to calculate. 100 times 2,100 is 210,000. Divided in half is 100. He has already distributed more than 100,000 big books. Is there any wonder why he is the incarnation of book distribution? 100,000 big books. Now, don't you think that the law of averages is such that one of those persons is going to become a pure devotee? Therefore, his incarnation is perfect. His mission is completed if any one of those people becomes. Not just the initiating guru. All of these gurus are to be worshipped on an equal level. The guru who introduces, the guru who instructs, the guru who initiates, they're all to be seen and worshipped equally. As one. Guru is one. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amaragai Guru Hari Tare Desh Yare Yaki Tare Paha Krishna Upadesh. By my order, everyone should become guru, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. And wherever you go, whoever you meet, you simply speak to them the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. No restriction. We make no restriction. We don't distinguish rich, poor, black, white, intelligent, fool. We simply see everyone as fallen and worthy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This then is the way to enter into an eternal relationship with Krishna. When you have entered into an eternal relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the symptom of such a relationship? 24 hours a day absorbed in thinking how to deliver the fallen souls. That is the symptom. When one is thinking of how to deliver the fallen souls 24 hours a day, it means that his relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become eternal. And at the same moment that that happens, you will perfectly understand the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna and all of other Krishna's wonderful pastimes with all of his other eternal associates. You don't have to endeavor separately like the sahajiyas. You endeavor through Gaurini Kai. Don't try to circumvent Gaurini Kai. Don't try to circumvent the representative of Gaurini Kai, the spiritual master. Don't try to approach Krishna. Spiritual master has given us this fervent order. Distribute more and more and more books. This is the order which we have received, and there is no other order that can come out of our mouths. If there are other instructions that come out, it is simply for the purpose of facilitating this order. Cannot expect that one day a different order will come out. Then we become untrue to our spiritual master's order. So take this order as your life and your soul. In this order, you will find all transcendental understanding will come. Serve this instruction. Make this the guideline of your life. Worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Worship Gaura-Nitai and his disciplic succession in the mood that they want to be worshipped by, not simply with some fruit and flowers. Krishna said, you offer me with love some fruits or some flowers and I will accept it. But Prabhupada said, you offer me the distribution of these books, and I will accept that. Everyone is individual. Krishna has his way of being satisfied, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a different way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way is through the book distribution, or we shall say, through the chanting of the holy name. Where Krishna wanted deity worship, fruit and flowers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Harinam. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Harinam, Srila Prabhupada wanted book distribution. Book distribution and Harinam and Prasadam distribution. These three things. So where is the question of offering some other things? You should know who you're approaching. When you approach now, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who are now the empowered spiritual masters, you should offer the same thing which they offered to their spiritual master. Prasadam distribution, book distribution, and Harinam distribution. There's no need of anything else. Are there any questions? Any questions? Yes.
You say that at the present time, people are not capable of chanting the holy names.
They're not capable of chanting 64 rounds of the holy names.
And simply Hare Nam Sankirtan is not sufficient.
You go out and see if you can get people to chant Hare Krishna. It's not easy.
But also you stated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that philosophical discussion wasn't possible for the mass people. So, how is it that they are benefiting so much from the book distribution?
Because they give some offering, they're serving, therefore as soon as they give that donation, they become qualified to understand. That's why we don't give these books away for free. That deprives them of the benefit of making an offering. How do you approach the spiritual master? In a service mood. So by giving a donation, they're rendering service. And as soon as they render service, they become qualified to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why Prabhupada liked us to take donations. He preferred that than to giving out the books for free. Krishna is meant to be taken. To take service. And even if they're not a big gyani, they can look at the pictures, they can touch the book. It's not an ordinary book. Just looking at it, you become purified. Just seeing a devotee, you'll become purified. Just hearing the voice of a devotee. That voice has chanted Hare Krishna hundreds of thousands of times. Do you think that the sound of a devotee's voice is a material sound? He may talk of anything, and still the sound vibration is purifying. Why do you think it is that anything that a pure devotee touches, any place that he visited, is it not a tirtha, a holy place? Because he's surcharged with love of God. His voice is surcharged. It's only with the greatest control that our book distributors don't spill out all the narrations of Krishna. But still, their voice alone is tinged with this bhakti. The karmis will become purified simply by hearing such a beautiful voice as the book distributor has. What is the question that they will not become purified? And when they become purified, then they'll pick up the book which they left on their bookshelf 1 year ago. And then they'll read it. These books are time bombs. You chant, and it goes in the ether and gone. But these books are time bombs. They go off in the person's home. They thought, shoot, glad I got away from that. Put the book away and then it explodes and his son becomes a devotee. Once you deliver this poison of Krishna conscious literature into the hands of a person, he is infected. Whether he takes the gets the disease or whether he carries it to someone else, that's just another form. There are so many carriers of diseases. They don't get it themselves, but they carry it and give it to someone else. In any case, as soon as they give it to someone else, they get benefited. Another question? Yes.
Distribution of a book doesn't just mean that one person gets it, but it's calculated that perhaps even 10 people may see the same book.
Yes.
Well, what is the qualification for one other than the person who's given donations, therefore, to see and actually appreciate it?
That reading a book is also service. Therefore, even if a man gets a book for free, that is also service if he reads or appreciates. Shravanam is the first stage in God realization. Hearing transcendental sound, that is service in itself. One of the ninefold processes of devotional service is hearing. But if in addition to hearing that you can actually give something, some money also,
could it be understood that if he reads it and appreciates it, then he must have done previous service?
Yes, certainly. Another question? So, Kirtan, are you ready to go on book distribution?
Only 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Why are you talking about the future? Why not today?
Well, I'm too little to go.
Do you know about Vamandev?
Well, when I get grown up, I can go.
No, no. Lord Vamandev is the incarnation of Krishna, and he was as short as you. Do you know about Prahlad Maharaj? He was only 5 years old, and he made everyone take to Krishna consciousness. It has nothing to do with age. You are eternal spirit soul. So you can give other people Krishna consciousness. You're a devotee of Krishna. Simply by telling them to chant Hare Krishna, that will be your perfect preaching. And getting them to take a book and give a little donation, that will be the success of your life. There's no question of being too young. Krishna consciousness is not only for older people, it's for everyone, isn't it? Even for little boys like you, right? Have you ever distributed a book before? Never? You did distribute. You gave someone a Back to Godhead magazine? What did he say? Thank you? Was he pleased?
I gave out cards.
Mantra cards. I think that you should begin book distribution at this age. Every week you should go with your father out for at least 1 hour, and you can carry Back to Godhead magazines and you can give them to people. Whoever you see, whoever you meet, give them a Back to Godhead magazine. How do you like this proposal?
Okay, maybe I'll go in the van with the brown shirt.
Oh, very good idea. But you know, they don't come back at night. Sometimes they go traveling. Do you want to go traveling, or do you have to come home at night?
Well, maybe I'll go traveling with the devotees.
Very good proposal. So now we will all follow your instruction. We're also going to go traveling. Many of us will go and travel all over the country. And whoever we meet, whoever they are, little child, old man, middle-aged man, or woman, whoever we meet, we're going to give them a book or a magazine. How do you like this idea? Good.